Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Welcome back to the NSFW podcast. Here we talk about nonsense all day, every day. Today on the show, we've got Horner, we've got Sav, we've got No Jackson. He's at another corporate event, probably signing autographs and doing speeches. how's your week been, gentlemen? What have you been up to? Savile Berry, anything good going on?
Oh, mate, I've been editing a video that you would have seen today. We're shooting a video of the day of release of the Golf Multisport Challenge. So
With Bayo. How was it?
He was wicked, man. I tell you what, I had so much fun editing that. Seriously? That was one of my favourite videos to edit, like, ever in my whole career.
If you haven't, it's the best thing we've done yet on the channel. That's my opinion. So if you haven't already seen it, go and check it out now. Please help us out by, you know, giving it a share, telling your friends, give it a good like and a comment, all that good stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. And also, why not, while you're doing all that, rate us 5-star on the podcast.
On the Podcube.
Podcunes, I nearly said. And the iTunes app, 5 stars, leave some nice words. It really does help us out, so please do that. The link is in the description below. Sav Berry, you starting us off with a new story this week?
What's going on? You didn't even ask Horner how his week was.
Don't care about it. He's done the same thing as you. He's just sat there moaning all week.
I have been moaning today, actually. Yeah, because I didn't think you were pulling your weight with this podcast.
Wow.
Sam, what's your story?
My story is about triplets, right? These three brothers. There was a documentary made called Three Identical Strangers, right? And it's about the lives of these three gentlemen. The reason it's interesting is because at birth, they were separated. Right, so they didn't know that they were triplets.
So they are triplets.
How were they separated?
So as soon as they were born, they were put up for adoption.
Yeah. So they are triplets.
They are triplets. Yeah,
they're not literally three identical strangers.
No.
That would be insane.
Yeah. They are triplets. So essentially, they were. By the way, are you right there? You got a bruise on your leg.
Yeah, no, sorry. I don't know what it is. Carry on.
One there and all.
Anyway, so they were separated at birth, and they were put into foster care and what have you, but they were documented. Right, but the parents didn't know that it was for specific reasons. The reason the parents had no idea is because they thought it was just another sort of child study.
Okay. Right?
As it was, they were part of like a really dark sort of social experiment where they wanted to know whether or not nature will nurture, like whether you are literally a product of your environment and how you would differ in like...
So
the foster parents thought that they were being documented just for like a child study. Yeah, so throughout their...
The biological parents,
I have no idea where they were. But they were put up for adoption, these three triplets. So I'm assuming they've been put up for adoption.
Yeah.
This like psycho-scientist guy's probably got wind of it and been like, I want to do this crazy experiment with these three triplets.
It sounds like Les Enfants Terribles. The core of Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. You know, it's all based on three triplets.
I didn't know that.
Solid Snake and Liquid Snake and all them are three triplets there.
So what happened? Yeah. So each triplet has gone to a different foster family.
Yeah, yeah. So essentially, they were documented throughout their childhood. So from birth to like 6, 7, I think maybe 8.
That's crazy.
When they were 19 years old, like through like coincidences, series of coincidental events, they reunited right out of the blue.
So we don't know how that happened.
That probably is in the documentary how it happened.
Yeah,
that is weird.
And basically, after two of them met, the other ones turned up somehow as well.
Just rocked up. There he is. Hey, it's Jerry.
He saw a bat signal. Yeah, missing one person in it.
And They became like pretty famous in like, I don't know if it's the '80s, I think it was the '80s, but they did like talk show events and stuff.
Do they look similar?
They are identical to the triplets.
So even with their different upbringings, hasn't had an impact.
So from the soundbite I heard one of them say, he said, I knocked on the door and I opened the door and it was me. That's what the fella said. And he said, I had no idea.
It's not the best not joke ever.
See, right? I think you
well, <he's>,
That is the kind of joke that will make him go.
Wow. Right, so, but I don't, like, nature versus nurture, surely they all pretty much turned out the same anyway.
Well, looks-wise, yeah, but from what I can tell and having watched them on camera, by the way, one of them committed suicide in, like, 1995.
Wow. That's a good turn.
Yeah, well, think about it. You found out that you were separated from birth and your entire existence, you could have known, like, in your upbringing that you had brothers and you could have had an upbringing with your brothers, but you were separated.
Yeah. It's also that your entire existence has been an experiment.
That's what I mean. So, like, I can't remember which one it was.
But the value of your life has just been decided to be.
That's what I mean.
A study for someone.
That's what I mean. So it's like, essentially, as the scientist, you've like deprived these three people of having siblings growing up. And speaking as an only child, it's like having siblings. I think it's important. I have siblings, right? But they're half siblings, so we weren't exactly. We were close growing up, but we didn't live together. So it's not the same. Like, I think having a sibling growing up, I would have been different, like, very different as a person. So this nature-nurture thing...
It's, like, the worst experiment ever. Like, obviously how you're raised affects how you grow as a personality. Like,
exactly.
It's the most stupid experiment.
So hang on. Was there at some point where they gathered them intentionally to get results? Or was it just from the study of those first 6 years or whatever?
I don't know exactly. I haven't watched the documentary.
Okay. So we don't know who did it as well?
I don't know who did it, no. I'm assuming it gets exposed. But not only that, but I think possibly the reason for the suicide was because of the fact that he found out about some of the stuff that happened in the lead up to them finding out that they were
so
separated.
Crazy, man.
So is the reason this is new in the news now, is this documentary coming out, or
yes,
it's just come out?
Where is it coming out? Netflix?
I don't know, I'm not too sure. I saw it on BBC News, and I thought I'd read it, and then went into the rabbit hole and was like, this is mad.
So what we'll do, we'll try and find, like, where this is or whatever, and we'll put it in the description.
What's the best documentary
comment
you guys have watched recently? Because I love a documentary, you know.
Yeah.
So I watched Evil Genius on Netflix.
I thought it was okay, but I thought it was just watered down.
So I was just going to say that I feel like the first episode, they built this up as this was going to be this incredible unravelling conspiracy.
Mm.
And the more it came down to it, it was just...
Obviously one more than that.
Small town people that were just a little bit crazy and were trying to rob a bank to make money and went a bit crazy in terms of getting the guy involved.
Yeah.
There wasn't like, not that you want there to be an underlying theme, but there wasn't anything more to it. I haven't finished yet, but I started watching, I think it's called Wild Country on Netflix, which is basically about, I can't remember his name, but this, I believe he's Indian, a guy who started like a cult, and all based around love and free will and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then it got so big. People from around the world kept coming to it. It got so big that he needed to move. So the documentary is based around, they just show up to, I think it's in Oregon in America, to just this town.
Yeah.
And he just buys a huge amount of land.
Yeah.
Like absolutely massive, next to this little town of people, and just builds an entire city for his thing.
But what
but
is his
more
cult?
And more,
is it like he's the god?
So he's kind of, it's kind of, he's the top of it. But he like presents himself to just be a what do they call it? I haven't got it clear in my head because I wasn't thinking of talking it today. He's just almost a prophet in a way.
Right, okay. Right,
but
right.
As it goes on, it's built around the conflicts that start to happen between this community of people from this cult and the people that live next to it.
Right.
Sort of like, you know, like middle-class white Americans that like their little town.
Yeah.
And then the last bit I saw before, I hadn't seen a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
One documentary maker, a German documentary maker, actually goes in to the cult and spends some time with them and starts to release all this footage of them. And it's like all these people
stripped.
And they
let him film it and stuff.
Well, I don't know if they knew, but it's all these people stripped naked in a room and they literally all go... They're just screaming and start running and like battering each other and like jumping on each other and like really, but all in this room. It's really like the last
What's
bit
the
I saw was where it stepped up a level of it getting weird. It's called Wild Country. It's on Netflix. You can watch it.
I'm gonna watch
it's
that.
quite I think there's like 10 or so episodes, and in my opinion, the first two or three episodes were quite slow.
Yeah. Right.
So it did. I didn't have me hooked. But it is good. It is good. I need to go back and watch the rest of it. But from what I saw, and it's like, it's completely true and all real.
Mm.
And it's weird that you also see the underlying thing of it all actually being a business. Like this whole cult thing is just a business. But yeah.
I think I've got two favourite documentaries ever. Well, maybe three if you include Making a Murderer. I think Making a Murderer is
quality. You still not watched it?
I haven't finished it yet.
So good.
Yeah.
But my two favourite documentaries ever are Icarus.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't seen Icarus. It's on my list thing.
Icarus is mind blowing.
Yeah.
Icarus is so good. The thing about Icarus that makes it so good is it doesn't start out as a documentary about.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be, was it?
So it starts out Icarus. If you don't know what it is, it's basically a documentary about doping.
It's on Netflix as well.
In cycling and then in Russian sport. But this guy basically tries to do a supersized meet, effectively, where he sees how much doping he can do to improve himself at amateur cycling level and how far can he push his body before he would technically become like a professional and how quick can he cycle. So he starts doping, and in order to dope, it's not as simple as you just go out and get some needles and some drugs and do it. You have to get like test equipment, you have to go to laboratories and all this kind of stuff. And he is struggling to find a laboratory and a doctor to help him do the amateur doping. Eventually he finds a Russian guy that agrees to do it on camera. And what it then conspires is this guy effectively created the world's biggest doping program within Russia, within the actual Russian athletics community. He was like fifth, sixth in line to Putin in terms of sports ministers and stuff like that. He was effectively directly reporting to Putin and doped the entire Russian Olympic team, other than I think about 13 athletes.
For
the Summer Olympics and Sochi.
So Rio and Sochi?
Yeah.
So he, it wasn't for Rio.
No, it wasn't Rio. It wasn't Rio.
It was London.
London.
Yeah.
And then Sochi. But Sochi was mainly.
Sochi is the big one.
And if you saw any of Sochi on the Winter Olympics, you're welcome.
Yeah,
that was us.
Sochi, lovely place though, by the way. Wicked place. Yeah, I've been there, but it's so nice. The people are lovely, but it's a doping centre. It's crazy. Effectively, what he did was he positioned the drug testing facility where he would test every athlete as being positive or negative in terms of drugs.
Yeah.
And then it would have to go to WADA, which is like the World Anti-Doping Authority.
Yeah.
So they also set up base in the same Russian facility.
Yeah.
And what he did was he created a second hidden room behind the WADA testing facility that was owned and operated by the KGB, which is the Russian Special Forces and like that's Secret Service.
I've really wanted to watch this
with detachable plug sockets in the wall. So what he would do is he would go in there at night when it was just probably him and five other people, and he would take all of the Russian samples out and put them through the plug sockets. And what they have, drug testing things, they have basically like a urine sample pot that you you basically wee into and then you click lock, and once it's locked, it's meant to be impossible to reopen it. WADA have basically built a whole philosophy on this thing cannot be reopened.
So I actually, just quickly on this, I went when I was working on the Olympics to an anti-doping facility where they test the urine samples. So what Joe is talking about, I can get a little picture up on the screen for you right now, where the top, essentially, you turn it and it clicks. And I've tried like, to open it, and it's essentially impossible.
Yeah, it's effectively, they basically branded it as being the impossible device to open. Well, he gave it to the KGB, and the KGB gave it back to him 25 minutes later, it opened. Like, absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. So what they did was they put it through. But open, and then still with the mechanism to click back in. So basically, the KGB, whoever they gave it to, solved the intricacies of the mechanism.
Unreal.
Opened it, changed the urine out for clean urine that he'd previously frozen and then put back in, and then click-locked it shut and effectively just swapped it out. So all of them tested clean. But then when WADA basically got back a year later, when all of this had unfolded and after this documentary Icarus was about to be released, he went to the New York Times and said, "This is what I've been doing in Russia." He managed to get out of Russia with the help of the Icarus documentary maker, who just stumbled across him in the first place. Got out of Russia.
Well, so what do you mean got out of? Were the Russians trying to?
So the Russians were going to kill him. So he was a Russian state guy,
right?
And he basically with the help of the Icarus guy, gets out of Russia, goes to the New York Times, tells his story.
Yeah.
Shows Wada about the things. Wada do the testing. You can see all the scratches on the locking mechanism, so it proved to be correct. And then because of that, he then faces prison time because helped do the biggest doping. The biggest doping thing ever, has to assume a hidden identity because the KGB are sending people to kill him in America. The FBI are trying to find him as well. He's in a hidden location with the Icarus documentary makers. It's the most mad documentary ever. It's awesome. Honestly, you've got to watch it.
You haven't just given us the entire plot.
No, I haven't, because I haven't given you the ending. You don't know what happens to the guy. But also, what I will say in the same documentary is...
He loves a spoiler, Jeff.
Is he says in the same documentary that he doped the whole Russian football team.
That's a... Whoa.
And obviously, those boys have just got to a quarter final of a World Cup, but we'll come on to that another time, I guess. And there's a lot of athletes.
It'd be interesting to see what comes out for
you. Yeah, I mean, all I'll say is Denis Cheryshev's dad came out last week and said that, yeah, his son's doping. So...
No, did he actually?
Yeah, so...
It's no way.
All I know is there was a few runs made.
Yeah.
120 minutes into games, into extra time, that were just like, sorry, have you just come on?
I mean, this is the thing for me about that doping in football. It's going to improve you, like, physically, isn't it?
Yeah.
But your actual talent and your skill...
Your footballing brain.
Not just that, but it's your ability isn't going to change. It's going to change you physically, and it's going to change your...
It doesn't affect you though, bro.
Well, yeah, but it's going to change your ability to get to balls and be quicker and be stronger and be more powerful. But your actual technical ability, it's not going to affect that.
But that's what I'm saying about... A footballing brain, the actual technique when on the ball of a player.
Yeah.
No drug's going to enhance that, would it?
So. Yeah, no. And just my second documentary is Citizen 4.
What's that?
Citizen 4 is the story from... is the Edward Snowden story.
Right.
Best documentary ever made. Ever. Better than Icarus. This is by far the best documentary ever. Effectively, this tells the story of... From the first ever email sent by Edward Snowden to The Guardian, it tells the story. As soon as they received that email, they started documenting and filming everything. So it's like the story of how they snuck Edward Snowden out of America, how they got him into Singapore, how they got him into Russia, his side of the story, what he was seeing from the NSA files, all of the NSA files, how they got him into the New York Times buildings, how they got him into London, like... The most crazy story, how the Americans are trying to shit on his story, sending people out to intimidate him and kill him and stuff like that, and how they're trying to protect him, and the Guardian guy is in Brazil, so he isn't getting impeached. It's like mad, honestly. From the first moment the email was sent, they hit record on the cameras, and it's a guy called Greenwall, I think Greenwall, something like that, and he's the he's basically the lead journalist that Edward Snowden first ever sent an email to, and it was all through coded messages that were all sent, and he basically unravelled this code and was like, oh my god, I've stumbled across the biggest news story of the 21st century.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible documentary. It's so well put together. It's called Citizen 4. I don't think it's on Netflix actually, but it'll be online.
Where
and
did
stuff.
You see
You'll
it?
To find it. I think I watched it on Sky Movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it might be on there, but it's the true story of Edward Snowden. And Edward Snowden speaks on camera, and it's just incredible.
Ooh,
his side of the story.
So that's good. That's good actually, because I've wanted to watch something about that, and I didn't want to watch the film.
Citizen 4, you've got to watch Citizen. Like Citizen 4 is the most mind-blowing documentary I've ever watched.
Yeah,
man.
I haven't really. I do watch documentaries, but they're more wildlife documentaries, so it's not exactly like. Well, no, it's like it's just a calm like.
Man's on planet Earth.
You get me? Like, yeah.
What's planet Earth's banging. Though. Blue planet,
just,
all
forget
of it.
That. I'm talking about life. Have you seen the
life,
documentary?
Life was
the life documentaries are way.
Yeah, life is very good.
It's a wicked like just looking at production value wise. It's mad.
Yeah, they are.
But I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't really do the other than Making of a Murderer. I don't really do the whole.
Nah, they've got to be good though. Once they pull you, then they pull you.
I did watch a really good one on. I think it was Channel 4. It was about Lance Armstrong. It was ages ago when I was still working at Sunset.
Yeah, Mac. David Walsh's one.
I think it might be that one. That was a really good one. That was a very good
one. One other one that just springs to mind in terms of something that's available on Netflix. It depends on the story as to how good each episode is.
Mm.
But have you seen any of the confession tapes?
No.
So on Netflix, it's a series called The Confession Tapes. And basically what it's around is that over the years in multiple cases, people have pleaded guilty to... crimes
they didn't commit.
Yeah.
That they didn't commit.
Right.
And when you first hear it, you're like, well, that's just insane. Like, yeah, why would anyone...
Suggest a million.
So then each episode, like the first one's a two-part on the same thing, but then like one's one episode, whatever, but it's fascinating when you watch how people can be manipulated into fitting into a story in a
system.
It's like
making a matter of those, isn't it?
Like, the first one is actually... it's quite simple. I'll just give you the plot for the first one because it's not like the whole series is there, but it's these two Canadian students who go back to one of them's mum and dad's house on a weekend, and basically they go out to eat or whatever, come back, and the mum, dad, and I think his sister are all dead, and the boys end up pleading guilty to the murder. But the way they actually plead guilty to the murder is because they obviously, they're just going to live their life after all this press attention they've got because of this murder. There's another section of it which is believed to be what it was, which was that, I believe in the Islamic local community, the dad had annoyed a few people within the community by saying something about one of the teachings or whatever it was. Mm. And apparently part of the, I can't remember exactly, but part of the murder looked like it was relevant to what would have been done by certain people in that community. Anyway, the boys go about trying to live their life, whatever, carrying on, and they end up basically wanting to just sort of like rebel and go do whatever. So they want to get into like, they meet these guys who work in drugs and gun smuggling or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it is. And those two guys are actually police operatives. And they go and they meet them. And it's called the Mr. Big sting, which was made illegal after this case because of what they do. But basically, you use the fact that these two guys want to be part of your thing. So the two police operatives posing as these like gangsters basically talk to them about, oh yeah, we'd like to bring you in on our thing, but we don't think you've got what it takes.
Right.
Talk to them like this, where it gets to the point where the boys go, yeah, well, you know that thing that we've been on the news for? Yeah, we did that. Now, they're just lying because they want to get the approval of these people.
I see, yeah.
But that is then used as a confession.
That's mad.
And it's all these, like, that's quite a simple one. When it gets into the ones afterwards, you realise it's stuff like that, like where police and authorities have talked people into believing they had states of unconsciousness, like during like a 4-hour period after a murder or before it, where, oh, maybe you don't remember and all this stuff. And it's like these people, the way they work people's minds. But that's interesting. The only thing is like you watch these things and you can't help but sitting there going, okay, so I don't have to actually commit a crime for someone to make me say I did it. They can use methods. But
I'm sure that there's that element of that where, like, for example, I know this is going a bit left field, but you see how only certain people will be affected by hypnotism.
Yeah, I definitely think that. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I mean,
you have to be quite, like, in the second story in it, you can tell that the guy is very
suggestible.
He's a guy who, he's so confused at what's happened in his life that he doesn't really get what's going on. And when they keep telling him things, he himself is trying to look for answers. So he just gets brought around to it. But
That sounds good. What's it called?
That's called The Confession Tapes.
It's on Netflix.
So there you are. Go and check out all of those documentaries, isn't it? Make sure you two watch Citizen 4 by the end of the week. It's absolutely
It sounds wicked.
Don't bother with the Amanda Knox one. It's crap.
Yeah, it's rubbish. Amanda Knox one's terrible.
Amanda Knox,
less said about that, better, man.
Yeah, not worth your time. Could have been a really good documentary because of the story.
Give me the premise. Don't tell me anything about it.
You know Amanda Knox, the American student that was living in Italy?
Killed.
And then her...
It's just so obvious who did it, and it's just
She was killed, and then there was this like love triangle between her, the female student, or whatever. But it's just like basically the documentary is kind of focused around, I think it's the guy from the Times, and he that uncovered it, or whatever it is.
Sounds boring.
And he basically just tries to make it. He thinks he's a star, and he makes it all about him.
It's rubbish.
Yeah. Next story, I guess.
Big one then, Hans, what you say?
It's a nice quick one. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Rumors have come out that Jeff Bezos is. Blue Origin, I believe it's called, which is going to be his space flight.
His version of SpaceX.
Yep.
Just quickly, on Jeff Bezos, what was the thing you showed me the other day?
Apparently, there is a new story going around that apparently the new Forbes listings state that Jeff Bezos is now $50 billion richer than the next richest person on the planet.
That is amazing.
I don't know if that's true, though. But what you showed me was definitely fake news.
This is
one of them ones your mum shares on Facebook. And you're just like, man, that's a lie, man.
No, it was on Instagram. But the, what I was going to ask is, Mags so isn't it is Mags isn't on Instagram.
No.
She's not on Facebook either. She doesn't have any social media. She's good like that.
Mad too.
She hasn't done anything with Mum. She's not going in space. $200,000 is apparently the asking price that they believe tickets will start at. Oof. To go into space.
It's not much.
So, not would you pay it, because obviously we all haven't got that money.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to ask, simple question, would you, if given the opportunity, would you take a flight out into space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would as well.
I think I would, yeah.
I would be scared.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't know what to do myself.
To the core of my body. Yeah. But I feel like if you were ever given that opportunity, like, how can you not? Like,
100%. What, to become an astronaut? Are you mad?
I mean, you wouldn't be becoming an
how
astronaut.
How are you not? You're in...
No. An astronaut is a profession. That's a job.
Yeah, but like,
you'd
have
a passenger on something that's taking you into space. It's
no, but
different.
What
you're not
you
a
mean
pilot
is,
when you're
still
in a plane.
Space adventurer.
What you mean is you would have to go through the testing they go through, wouldn't you?
You'd have to go
see
through
if you
G-force
can,
testing
G-force
and, stuff,
and
yeah.
things like that to see if you can actually take
that's
it.
Fine, but you're not actually doing the job of an astronaut. It's a
no.
profession.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're still a space adventurer. Space
no, you're space not. I think you're not a space adventurer.
How are you not a space adventurer?
You're in space and you're adventurous.
So,
you'd be on the cusp
that's
of the
my
Earth.
Point. You'd be in the blue line.
It doesn't go out, does it? It goes to
I don't know, but 200,000 seems cheap, man. 200,000, I bet they're not going to hold many people on there. It's not going to be like a jumbo jet line.
No, I reckon, to be honest,
and the people who do it are billionaires.
I think they've done that right now as like that's going to drive up the interest, and then they'll pick up the price on demand.
It'll be
they?
Silly when the price actually launches.
But it wasn't so much about the price. I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether you would do it and go into space.
I think it's mad. Obviously, like Elon Musk and Bezos and those boys, they're all doing madness,
all
aren't they?
Boys.
Yeah. Even what's the name? Richard Branson.
Branson.
Doing all kinds of stuff.
But let us know in the comments below. Would you take the trip into space? Like, I'll tell you what, because it comes nicely round to it.
Go on.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, it comes into my story nicely.
I was going to say. So we'll pass it over to you, Joe.
Musky, I'm going to talk about the Thai boys. Thai boys in the cave that were stuck in there, and the amazing job that the Thai Navy SEALs and also the foreign divers did getting them out. But yeah, Elon Musk rocked up to that Thai cave.
Right.
He was there for a couple of days.
Rocked up. Yeah.
He basically turned up with a mini submarine that could transport singular humans through small passages. It was not very big. It was about 8 foot long, and it was very thin, but couldn't be used because it still didn't fit through the gaps in the cave.
Yeah.
It's basically too rigid. So the lads got stuck at the end of the cave. If you don't know this story, there's a Thai football team of teenagers got stuck in a cave. They went in there to celebrate a lad's birthday with their coach, and they got stuck in the cave when heavy rain and stuff basically levelled up the water.
They were about 13, weren't they?
Yeah, so a few of them are a little bit older than
that. There's one who's 11.
And so they got stuck right at the back of the cave, and it was kind of presumed they were all dead when they went missing. They were in the cave for 9 days, pitch black, no lights because their torches died.
Yeah.
They survived because they took a birthday cake and some snacks in there for the lad, and they drank water that was coming down off of the cave walls. That's to right. survive. And the other method that made them survive was that the coach of the football team, this is actually the craziest thing for me, was spent 12 years as a monk and had become an expert in meditation and taught all of the kids whilst in the cave to meditate. And because they were meditating, they didn't expend as much energy needed to eat
That's
as much.
Kept them calm.
So they would spend like hours a day meditating to keep them calm and to stop the body burning enough fuel that they would just die of starvation. So eventually, anyway, somebody
it's
found
incredible,
them.
Incredible, isn't it, this story?
They reported missing, and it's one of the most complicated cave dives in history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what they had to do was it was made up of 9 different chambers, the cave. And some of the chambers were so long and so shallow that you couldn't go through with an oxygen tank on.
Yeah.
So you had to take a tank off to go through. And there's zero visibility. Because it's
put it in front of them.
Because it's not like a... Don't imagine this is like a rocky cave in a mountain. It's like a muddy cave. So imagine you're like swimming in a mangrove swamp.
Yeah.
And it's like you'd be diving down into like a catfish hole. It's that sort of vibe. You've got zero visibility. Obviously, one Navy SEAL, Thai Navy SEAL, sadly lost his life diving, took his oxygen tank off to get through one of the smaller gaps, lost his oxygen tank and couldn't get back out. And they're following what's called like a guideline. It's basically a bit of string or rope that dots along the whole way through the cave and you pull yourself along it and follow it. But some of the places were so thin that the guideline would be like along and pressed into the mud to follow it. So it's really hard to find. But they obviously got there eventually. What happened was foreign divers came in because the Thai Navy SEALs are accustomed to basically deep sea dives and open water dives, which is a totally different skill set to mud and cave diving. Yeah. British divers were over there, Americans.
It was a British diver who found them, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it basically is like 5 hours it would take them to get cave to entrance of diving, and there's obviously stopping points in
five hours
to swap tanks.
In pitch blackness.
And through, you got to remember, some of them, they would have to push the tank in front of them and swim with nothing on the back. No flippers, obviously, because it's too big. Snorkels were too big for some of the things. No oxygen. Honestly, like, the most insane story. All of the lads got out.
That's a miracle.
Got out safe. Obviously, one Thai Navy diver died. But, like, one of the craziest things is that because they'd spent 9 days in pitch black darkness, their eyes had become accustomed to living in no light. Yeah. So they could see each other in pitch black darkness. So when they came out,
they
all had to wear sunglasses, thick, like granny sunglasses, blind person sunglasses. Because the sun was just like, shattering their retinas. The most insane cave diving story ever. It's an absolute miracle. I think when the first diver found them, they were given like a 0.01% shot of making it out of all the kids. And they've like made out of all of the kids. Loads of foreign divers involved. I think it was over 100 divers in the cave towards the end of it.
That's an absolute madness, man.
Absolute madness.
What a news reporter saying to one of the divers, like, how are you all? Everything all right? And he just said, yep, we just need beer and we need sleep.
Yeah, it's just insane. I mean, it's like the most incredible logistical effort. Like, apparently, bits of the cave, they actually had to put like harness winches through because the drops would have, like, do you know what I mean? Like, they couldn't just climb through because some bits of the cave didn't have water in, and you come out of one with a tank and there'd be a drop, so then you have to put a harness clip with a stretcher to go along.
It couldn't
have been more complicated, but they managed it. They're all out now.
The biggest thing you have to realise with this is these divers go in. Now, they're like, it's 5 hours for them to get point to point.
Yeah.
And they're experts.
Yeah.
They then have to get the kids out.
Yeah.
So the kids who are not equipped and skilled in this at all, like, fair play to those boys for being able to do the journey out as well.
I think it's
unbelievable.
It's still unclear at the moment, but it feels like they sedated the kids to get them out.
Do you think?
Yeah. Well, the Thai government's refused to comment on it, but basically, what happens in cave dives is if the person you're rescuing starts to panic, you're dead. Like, you will die. Like, a person that's drowning will kill the rescuer. It's like a well-known thing. Like, if you're out at sea and you're drowning and somebody comes to save you, you will kill the person who's gonna, just to try and survive. It's like a survival instinct. So the kids who would have been struggling, it's quite likely they would have had to sedate them because they would have just killed the diver they were with. Yeah. And they were wearing like full face oxygen masks. So there's like a difference between goggle oxygen tank masks and like full face breathable masks. Yeah, yeah. So like it's pretty certain that they would have probably sedated them.
At any point, there's no part of me that thinks, oh no, but why have they? It's like,
they got them out.
They got them out.
Who cares? I mean, it's still like,
they're not, we hope for the best for them because it's still not 100% in the clear yet because obviously they're having to have medical tests and things like that to make sure that
psychological tests as well.
There's photos of them in hospital, like where they're waving to the cameras and stuff, but they've got face masks and things to make sure. But
it makes you actually think what the human body can do when it's put under stressful circumstances.
Like, it's the most insane story.
It's unbelievable
of the week,
man.
By a longer shot. I think this is going to go out on Monday though, so it's a little bit old news, but had to be brought to the table.
Yeah,
well, we're probably going out around the same day as they'll release the trailer for the film.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. It's Nicolas Cage.
Tom Cruise swimming through the eye of a needle.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, that actually comes quite nicely into our last sort of segment where we talk about unusual circumstances of survival, right?
Go on then, what is this last segment?
We thought we'd bring something a bit different
today,
didn't we?
Yeah, it was your suggestion, so I'm going to let
it
you...
It wasn't actually, on, it was Joe's.
It was mine. Right, so... I've got down a number of conditions.
Right, go on.
Yeah, Joe's got them down.
I'll tell you what's happening overall. You've got to imagine you are stuck, marooned on a desert island with no hope of survival in the middle of nowhere, no other land in your vicinity. You're surrounded by sea. Imagine Bear Grylls is the island,
yeah.
But real life. You've been stuck there, your plane's crashed. I'm going to give people scenarios. You have to pick what you want. So the first one...
So stranded on a desert island.
Stranded on a desert island. The first one is you could be stuck with three people from this office.
Okay.
Choose your three survivors that you're with. The plane is full of the office. Everybody in the office is in the plane.
Okay, so do you know what's weird, right?
Right.
I was actually thinking about this before we come on.
Go on.
About people in the office and who you'd use for it.
Yeah.
And not just saying this, but I think I would probably take you two as two of the positions. Maybe. Just because.
There's no way I'd take Sav. Absolutely no way I would take Sav.
But let me give you my explanation first. There's other options in there, definitely. But I think that you've got to think about it as people that you know you can figure out problems with. Mm-hmm. And it'll be funny, we get to points where we're pissed off with each other and we're annoyed when something's not going right.
Yeah.
But we'll always just go, okay, cool, how do we fix it?
So who would be the third person? But for me, I wouldn't take Sav because I want strong swimmers. And you're not a good swimmer, are you?
But, this is the difference.
We'll sedate him.
I can swim to save my life.
That's not what I want, though. I want people who can swim out to fish and to gather items and things like that and go down to the bottom of a seabed and get an oyster or a clam or a crab.
So I'll just start mine off easy because I think I could sit for hours going through this, but just to keep it easy, if I'm going three people, I'll go with the three we've got here in the room. So I'll go with you two and Georgia, because then at least we can document it and put it up on... But we've got internet signal.
No, we've got no internet signal.
We've got no internet signal, okay.
All right,
maybe we'll just batch record a load of stuff.
All right, I've changed mine. I've basically chucked all three of you guys under the bus. None of you are coming on my island. You don't share food, I can't deal with it, and you can't swim, bro, so you're definitely not there.
Mills is up there for me. I'm maybe thinking about bringing Millad.
Millad is a potential candidate.
He's a useful candidate.
Zach Jalab would be on there with me.
You've lost Zach Jalab.
Zach Jalab
would
be on there with me.
You've lost the plot already. Why? What's the reasons?
The reason that I would take Zach Jalab is he's fairly strong.
Is he?
He is. You know he is. Yeah. He's fairly strong, and also I could tell him to do shit, and he would do it. If I was like, Jalab, go and build that, he would just go and get it done. There'd be no moaning, there'd be no, like, annoyance. Like, he would just get it done. It might take him 4 or 5 days to do it, but he would get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would take Zach Jalab. I would take number two, Millad.
Okay.
It's a good shout.
Feisty, doesn't eat much, and he's also very strong.
Uh-huh.
For his size.
Yeah. Number three, now,
he's
I don't...
He's going to hate
this, that. This could be cheating. I would take John Babb for ingenuity.
I don't think you can take John Babb because I thought about it and went against it.
Can't take Babb? Okay, no, Babb's cheating.
Plus, the other thing is that when you do have to, in a logistics sense, when you do have to be the, like, okay, we're making a go for it now to get home, he's going to be useless.
Yeah,
you're going to have to leave him behind.
Whereas Millad and Zach, I reckon...
They'll keep up.
Yeah. We'll just go for a wall.
It's not just that. What if there's, like, indigenous people in this island?
No, there's not. You're completely alone.
Okay.
Completely alone.
See, I base mine on people that I know I can fix a problem with and that I actually enjoy being around.
Yeah, I enjoy being around you two, but no chance you'd be on my desert island. Absolutely zero chance, bro. You've got one more space, man. I can't pick Babb. Who am I thinking?
He's not taking Jackson.
I'm not taking Jackson.
Why not?
He's not a strong swimmer either.
No, not strong swimmer.
No, okay. You've got to have very strong swimmers in this scenario.
Miller can't swim very well.
I tell you who's a big shout for this.
Yeah.
All-time gaming's Alex Jones.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a utility,
when you're talking about a Bear Grylls type.
Yeah, not bad.
Jonesy's not a bad shout at all.
Yeah. Jonesy's not bad. I potentially would take Jonesy, Millad, and Zach would be my three.
Do you know what? Actually, I think you've got a good team there.
You've got a good team there, definitely. So,
Sav?
My one... I mean... I was going to say...
You've got to take me 100%.
This was going to be my three. This was going to be my three, right? Millad, you...
100%.
And Dave. That was going to be my three, but he's done me in. So I'm getting rid of him.
What?
Nah.
What are your reasons?
I'm a very strong swimmer. I'm useful, I'm a grafter, and I tell you...
He's angry. He's dumped you out, the reason, but he's angry.
And I've fished slash hunted before.
No, okay, well, that's fantastic.
Joe has a great story about when he stabbed, what was it, an octopus in the head?
You know, 100%, I would survive on that island well.
Cool, I'm sure you would, but seeing as you've not taken me, I'm not taking you either.
Bitter, twisted.
So who's going instead?
Instead of Joe, it's a difficult one. I think Sam Obiseki.
Oh, it's a good shout.
Out
of sight, out of mind, mate. Don't go crazy.
I'm sure I've spoken to him before, in the same way John Babb can't
swim. Oh, no, careful with this. Are you sure he can't swim?
Oh, I don't think he... Is it him?
Why do you think Sam can't swim?
Because I think he's told me before he can't swim, not because of the old cliche. John Babb can't swim, for fuck's sake.
What is the old cliche?
It's racist. They're just trying to drag it out of me, innit? But yeah, Sam Obiseki is a good shout in terms of physicality, mate.
Yeah, it's a good shout. I think that would be my What were your other reasons for the rest of the team?
Milad, again, same reason. Strong, utility, like, feisty. Mate. He's got... Also, I feel like he's been in scenarios before. He lives in Hausa, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say he grew up in Iran.
No.
He's eaten nonsense before, though.
And on top of that, you're gonna need some banter, so...
Well, no, rather than that, he's just he's good at working things out. He's just logistics. He's got a good brain for it. So I think that would be my three.
Right, who are your three again?
I'll just go.
So us three in the room. So after you've got your three people from the office,
right,
another plane crashes. It's coming over. Bang. Crash lands in the middle of the island.
Yeah.
Out come three celebrities.
Ooh.
Who are your three celebrities joining you and your team on the island?
I like this question. This is a good question, this one.
I'll tell you who mine are straight away. Number one comes off.
Go on.
It's Bear Grylls.
I was going to say it's got to be.
Bear Grylls. In this scenario,
I might try and keep mine more like people that don't annoy me.
Nah, I would take Bear Grylls. I'd just say Bear, set it all up, bruv.
Yeah.
Get it all done.
But here's the problem with that. Well, there is no problem with that. And that would have been my first choice if I hadn't met the geezer. Right?
Have you met him?
I've met the geezer, right? I was on a beach in Wales. Yeah. And he has his own island off the beach of Abersoch, right, where he lives. He's got like some little lighthouse thing up there. He comes over in his little speedboat, right? A couple of autographs for the kids and that. Me and my cousins, obviously they're my cousins, innit? So, yeah, we walk over to him and that.
They're tall as well.
We're like, yo, so what, can we get a picture in that? And he's like, nah, sorry, see you later, mate. And it's like, but you've just done it with these lot. He's like, yeah, but got to run, didn't I? So it's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? So from that moment
so
on,
okay, so you just don't like
Bear
Grylls.
You heard it first, Bear Grylls.
He's a racist. Man, you got
that is Bear. That's only from South Korea.
If
not
Bear, what about Ray Mears?
I was gonna say Ray Mears.
Mearsy.
I was gonna say
Big Mearsy.
Mearsy seems more fun.
I'll tell you what,
probably knows how to cook a good meal as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Plus, there was always the rumours that Ray Mears had just like. A big trailer off site of his shoots, just full of whatever he wanted. So if he's bringing that,
like Bear Grylls as well.
No,
Bear Grylls does that as well. But think about it, Ray Mears isn't going to like just suddenly in the middle of the night piss on you, go, oh, I'm just doing it to cool you down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the type of stuff Bear Grylls will do.
All right,
three celebrities.
My second celebrity, though.
Well, Ivan picked me first.
Oh, yeah, let's still do one, then we'll come back around then. Fine. Go on.
I would go.
Yeah.
I feel like a chef is a good option.
What? Who cares how things taste on an island?
It's not how they taste. It's the ability to know what you can and can't.
So you can't, right? You've told me you're
that's
a good chef.
Utter nonsense.
I am a good chef.
So then why would
there's
you
an island where I don't know what I'm cooking? Then
that's just rubbish. You're going to say Jamie Oliver. He's going to go.
Jamie Oliver.
Exactly.
Sort of.
What are you talking about?
Nigella. No, I'll tell you what. I was going to say when you went for grills. I'll go Ray Mears first.
Okay, so you take Ray Mears first. Saf, who are you taking?
Wait, just quickly. So he goes, Jamie Oliver. He goes, why would you take Jamie Oliver? He goes, what about Nigella Lawson? Joe goes.
All right, who are you taking? Who's your first off the plane?
Ray Mears. I said Ray Mears.
My second off the plane, Margot Robbie.
Why?
Why?
Right, number
why?
One. I'll tell you why. Is that she is Australian and lived in a proper farm environment when she was younger.
Look at the way he scraped that one out.
Nah, that's true. Also, she's incredibly attractive.
So why are you taking Russell Crowe?
And at some stage, we might well have...
We might have to increase
the population.
We might have to increase the population.
So Margot Robbie would be my second off. Useful, funny, attractive, childbearing.
Childbearing.
So, go on then, who's yours?
That's not bad, actually. I'll give you that one. I hadn't actually thought to bring... like a celebrity. I'm trying to think in my head of people who are actually.
Can I
in my head was thinking Obama as someone. When you're thinking about people that in terms of like, oh, in a situation, someone who thinks in the right way to fix a problem, like politicians is probably not a bad way to look at it. And out of politicians, the only one that I've really liked in my life has been Barack Obama. But I don't. My first thing goes, I'd want to bring Kendrick Lamar. But I don't think he's going to be much use, is he?
No.
You don't need. There's options of music coming later, isn't it? You don't have to actually bring a musician.
Yeah, but that means I can add a fourth, doesn't it? So, live performances from.
What about. I wouldn't take him, but an option, Anthony Joshua. Okay, a lot of strength.
Well, hold on. Stop there.
A lot of physicality.
Sportsman is a good way to go.
He was. Before you said Ray Mears a second ago, right? I was going to say Anthony Joshua. The reason I wouldn't take Anthony Joshua, and I might take a different boxer from a lower weight class, is his calorie intake is going to be mental, right? True. You talk about somebody who eats a lot.
That's true.
Anthony Joshua eats
I also saw him on Bear Grylls Goes Wild with a celebrity. Yeah. Useless.
Yeah?
Serious? Mate. Yeah, useless.
For real? I haven't watched
Couldn't
that.
Climb, couldn't rope, couldn't get across a rope thing. Oh, yeah, to be fair, he ate a maggot, but that's about it. I also thought Barack Obama was pretty weak on the Bear Grylls thing.
I know mine.
He gave
is.
It
I
a shout. Go on then, who's your second?
It's Prince Harry.
Ooh.
It's Prince Harry.
I tell you what.
It's a good shout.
That's
isn't
a good
shout. Knows what he's doing. That's what I mean. Military man knows what he's doing.
Good
calm.
Shout.
Yeah.
I've got
knows how
one.
To deal with pressure.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of photos of Meghan.
Yeah.
Cut. Behave.
Good looking girl.
Behave.
Behave. I've got my one anyway.
Go on.
Ross Kemp.
Oh,
that's a
no,
wicked shit.
Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp, bruv. Couple of
this means
everything.
No, I would not take Ross Kemp anywhere near it.
Yeah, Ross Kemp. I'm all over it. He'd love that as well. Yes. Yes, 100%. The geezer has been everywhere and he's done everything.
Yeah, but has he really?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you not seen that thing where the geezer putting the muzzle of a gun
in
his face?
Oh, that was quality.
And he's like, you're not going to shoot me.
That is my favourite Ross Kemp.
You're not going to shoot me.
You're not going to shoot me. Go on then. Shoot me.
You know what I'm saying?
Shoot me.
He's a gangster.
You're not going to shoot me. Go on, Ross.
You know what I mean?
I love that clip. It's so good.
You have to have him on the island.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right, my third would be Will Smith.
Good one. I like that. He's quite resourceful himself as well.
Yeah, I think he would be a bit of a survivor, Will Smith. Adaptable. Yeah. I think he'd be entertaining. He wouldn't be too much of a prima donna. He might be a little bit of one, but I've soon whack it out of him. Yeah, that would be my three. So, Margot, Bear, Will Smith.
Yeah,
yeah, I think like I'd go Ray Mears, Prince Harry, and then I'm trying to think of something that's a bit more of a celebrity, but it seems like he's a good problem solver type.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Carol
Vorderman. I don't know why, but I'm chucking Denzel Washington is coming with me.
Oh, no, bro. He's old, man.
Yeah, he's old.
Can I have him as the fella in the Equaliser?
Nah. Yeah, I mean, if you could have the Equaliser, it'd be a world. I'd bring Harry Potter along, mate. It's not worth it.
I don't know.
I'll tell you my one then.
Go on, you go yours and I'll come back. I'll have my one after.
I'm in a toss-up here between Jason Statham, right?
Mad.
Or
good swimmer. Used to be a Commonwealth diver.
Exactly. So not just that, but he's good with nutrition. He's like an expert on nutrition. Mm. So like he'd be somebody to have on the island. Just be like, nah, you can't eat that. That's gonna kill you. And like little things like that. Do you know what I mean? So Jason Statham or the geezer who directed Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. His name
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie.
Why Guy Ritchie?
Because Guy Ritchie, I'll have you know, right? If you've watched the Joe Rogan podcast. Again, very good on nutrition.
Yes, very good.
Black belt in jiu-jitsu. Very resourceful man.
Yeah, he is. Collects knives.
Exactly.
So quality knife skills, that's key
that's
on
what
island,
I mean.
Bro.
So it's I think that those two shouts are decent. I'm not sure who I'd go for. Probably Statham, because he's just more physical.
I've just thought of another one, potential. Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot, potential, mate.
She's in the military
She grew up
well.
In the Israeli military. Yeah. She will be resourceful.
Yeah. Also, if you want to repopulate... No,
yeah,
I mean.
I agree. I reckon Gal Gadot's not the worst shout, man. Gal Gadot.
All right, go on then. I'll take
Gal.
You'll
take
Gal.
All
right. Take Gal.
What's next?
I'll take Gal.
So next.
So it's at the end of PE, picking teams, isn't it?
The next plane is actually a drone. And it's crashed. And there's a big box. You open it up, there's three films inside.
Right. Ooh.
Okay, remember the Titans, number one.
Okay, number two.
Obviously, we have the ability to watch.
What's
them
Remember
as well.
The Titans? Yeah, there's a mystery player you can watch them. Yeah,
mystery player you can watch them. Yeah.
Remember the Titans, number
it's
one.
Pete Dorman's portable DVD.
Oh,
what's Remember the Titans?
We've talked about this before. My favourite film.
It's the NFL film.
Oh, right,
yeah,
yeah,
the NFL.
Still
it's good.
Watched it.
Denzel Washington.
You'd really like
you'd,
it. You'd
like that
Denzel.
One, yeah.
Seriously, the cast. Gosling's in it, but they're all young. They're all like college
age. Young,
yeah. Okay.
It's from years ago. But I'd take that. Go on, you just go one each.
First film, I'd have to say In the Heat of the Night. Yeah, you know that one. Sidney Poitier. Bit of Rod Steiger.
Yeah, and Forrest Gump's mine. So that's all our favourite films, out of the way.
Yeah.
I was thinking, do you know what's weird? I was thinking, like, it'd be good to take something that is based on a similar topic to what we're in, that has an ending where you get out.
Rambo.
But the first thing that came to my head is I was like, oh, Castaway. But Castaway's horrible when he gets home.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's not really the one, is it?
What about Mars? Matt Damon.
The Martian.
Yeah,
that's not a bad shout because it's all about him building.
What are you talking
it?
About? So you're going to grow a thing like he did on.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is films that are less about, oh, something entertaining to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And that are more about,
purpose,
like.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Predator. Take Predator in there then, mate, because you're in a jungle. I would take my second one.
Battle
be,
Royale.
My second, I'm torn.
Yeah.
Between Ocean's 11.
It's just so stupid. I was thinking it myself. I was going to
Ocean's
it.
11, just because it's got so many layers, bro.
Yeah.
And Goodfellas.
Okay.
I'm going to go Ocean's 11. I'm going to go Ocean's 11. Fair just because every time I watch it, I think, oh, that's another twist.
I think I'm going to go Casino, just because it's so long.
Fair enough.
So that's a nice Casino's chunk a of your day.
That is
Do you
true.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
Not bad.
Chuck on Casino once a day. Fair You're only figuring out
the other second one, Savile.
Bit of a rogue shout here, but it's got to be done. Just in case we do end up, repopulating. The Incredibles. Yeah?
What are you talking about?
Keeps the kids happy.
Oh,
right?
You mean if you have kids?
Exactly.
I thought you meant it gets you in the mood.
Yeah, so did I. I was like, you freak, bro.
What? No, come on, man.
What's the name? The Elastic Girl?
Yeah.
Oh, allow it. Dead. What I'm saying is, let's say we end up having kids on the island, then you're going to need to keep them occupied. And you can't do that with Casino, can you? So, stick them in front of The Incredibles and you're good to go.
Also,
it's a wicked film. It's a good film.
It's a good show.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
The Incredibles, yeah. And
so,
I think
you're right in terms of something light-hearted.
Yeah, which is my next shout. Enter Crazy Stupid Love.
Never seen it.
Unbelievable rom-com. My favourite romantic comedy of all time.
Man.
Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling. It is so good. If
is
you haven't
good?
Watched it, watch it.
It is good.
I promise you, best romantic comedy I've ever watched.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Must have watched it 3 or 4 times. I was torn between that and The Intern.
The Intern?
Yeah.
I did actually enjoy The Intern.
Yeah,
myself.
So did I. Anne Hathaway at her very best.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
I'll go...
What about you?
Do you know what? I think The Incredibles is a really good shout. Because it's such a good film as well. Like for
that
all
Toy
ages.
Story or something like that.
I was going to say, I'll take Toy Story.
Yeah.
So that's your third one, Toy Story.
Yeah, because it's nice, light-hearted. Again, if there's kids at any point.
Yeah.
I like that.
You can play it.
I've got a gritty one for my third one, which is Saving Private Ryan.
Ooh.
Very gritty film, but...
Why would you not just take Forrest Gump? It's got more levels and it's got the same action.
Because you've got it with you and you're with me.
Oh, does that work? Does that work? He's trying to find little...
I'm not sure. I have unlimited wishes.
No, I'm not sure that works.
Okay, we need to crack on because we're getting deep into this. So what was the last bit?
No, there's two more left.
There's two more left.
You're digging down.
Right.
Oh, you've hit some metalware. Open it up. There's a crate with the complete discography of a single or three artists.
Okay.
Who are your three artists in that crate?
So,
my first one, I'll throw it out there.
Go on.
Kanye West.
Okay.
Do I want to go in? Go on, who would you go then?
I'd go, for me personally, I'd go J. Cole first.
Okay, J. Cole's the first in the hatch.
Me, it's Bob Marley, first one taken out there.
Like that. So that's
just reasons on. So
Bob Marley, he's just like, I just love his music. It's just fantastic music. It's happy. Most of it. It's got a meaning, deeper meaning, layered. It's very meaningful to me personally, just as far as like my heritage and my background. Mm. So I'd say Bob Marley, definitely number
Same
one.
Same reason I chose Kanye.
I'd go J. Cole because one, he's probably my favourite artist.
Yeah.
He's up there, definitely. Also, if I've got the entire back catalogue, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
And similar to what you said, he has a lot of stuff that's like, he's got tracks that are almost storytelling. They're not just... There's actual substance to it as opposed to just hooks and things. So I think there's more to listen to there.
Yeah, I was torn between Kanye and Eminem.
Eminem would have been a good shout.
Eminem would have been good, but just Kanye.
The thing is, though, with Eminem is Marshall Mathers LP 1 aside and The Eminem Show. How many great albums?
But I think you would still enjoy listening to them. Not great comparatively to the amazing, with Kanye. Yeah, Kanye is where you get a lot for your money.
Okay, so second.
Because I want something completely different to Kanye. I've got Kanye, he's got loads of features on his most of his biggest songs anyway. I'm bringing in Calvin Harris.
Ooh, next. Okay, fair enough.
There's range there.
So many bangers across such a big range.
Also, that album he did, 18 Funk Wave Sound, whatever, was like a real mix-up hip-hop R&B stuff. Yeah. I really like that album.
And I think the album 18 Months had so many bangers on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll go. My second is Van Morrison. Because that's...
Who the fuck's Van Morrison?
Completely different.
Who's Van Morrison? Classic. Classical.
Not classical. He's like a singer, old guy, but like from years back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he's basically like that'd be my mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? Like
the stuff that reminds you of growing up.
Yeah. And plus, again, the man's got about 25 albums.
Yeah.
So that range, and he's done with that. He's done like collaboration projects with Pink Floyd and stuff like that. So there's loads of stuff in there.
Right.
So I think I'll go Van Morrison second.
Cool. Fair dudes. My second one is gonna be Drake.
I was thinking it, you know.
The reason I'm going to go with Drake is because of the back catalogue.
Yeah.
The amount of music, the amount of bangers, and the variety of bangers. Like, it's not just, you know, diss track bangers. It's club bangers and girl bangers. It's just bangers on top of bangers. So I'm thinking Drake is going to be my second choice.
It's not bad. I like the idea of the family one. Maybe David Bowie. Ooh. Potentially, Dad's a massive David Bowie fan, so listens to a lot of Bowie.
A lot of range there.
Bowie. But then my favourite song is Unfinished Symphony. So, could go Massive Attack.
But then again, if you go back catalogue of Massive Attack,
dead.
It's not huge.
Not very long. Not very long. You're getting...
Yeah.
I'll go Bowie then. I'll go Bowie.
Bowie.
Quality. I haven't. Calvin Harris, Bowie and Kanye.
Okay.
It's your third boy or third girl.
That's really difficult. It's really, really
It's a
difficult.
Tough one, isn't it?
It's hard, man.
It is a tough one. I'm torn myself. I love a bit of Marvin Gaye, but then I'm not sure. He hasn't got the catalogue. Like, he's got individual tunes where, like, Sexual Healing is one of my favourite ever songs.
He's also a bit too similar to Bob Marley.
Nah.
Not in the slightest.
No?
Not too.
It's quite that slow sort of, like...
Different genres,
I think,
bro.
Yeah, but I know genres, but I think after... like 10 years of listening to it, it would just all blend into one, bro.
No, not really. Would,
one's
bro.
Reggae, one's soul.
I think it would. That's my opinion.
I would go. Do you know what one is a toss up?
It's cultured opinion that.
So Drake's in there for me, as you said, but just because of the back catalogue, because there's so much stuff there. At the same time, our mind's torn between like four. So it's Drake, Kendrick. It could be. Oh, God.
Are you really
going to
go like J. Cole and someone from a similar genre?
Yeah,
it's not so much that.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Gets. You finish yours.
I've got my one, Gets.
Yeah, that was the thing. In my mind, I was going to go UK with it.
Gets. It has to be my third one.
That would
simply
become
because,
irritating, man, to the group.
It won't,
that would
it won't.
Become irritating to the group.
I don't
you would
care.
Splinter off if you
I
took
don't
Gets.
Care. I'll be controlling the group.
Yeah, but you, as soon as you stop putting that on and the group starts to splinter, it's because you took Gets.
It's not because I took Gets. I've got headphones with me. Right?
What? No, you haven't.
It came with the portable DVD, a CD player. How are you going to listen to it otherwise?
Speakers.
There's no speakers on it.
There are. They're in the trees.
Speakers.
So I think Gets, simply because I want to remember, like, if I never end up leaving that island, I want to remember where I come from in terms of London and remember the culture. So Gets is going to be my third choice.
Okay. I will go. I'll tell you what, I'm going to mix mine completely up because I think it's about having range in there and different stuff.
Yeah.
So I will go for... I'm going to go for a guy called Lane 8.
Who is that?
He's a producer that makes very deep melodic house tunes. But his back catalogue is seriously about like 8 projects, like 10, 15 tracks on each.
Right.
But just, you would love it. It's your kind
of
house.
But I would love house music. I love house music now, but on an island, I would go insane listening to 8 hours of house music.
I'm not listening to 8 hours of it, though. I'm using it to break up Van Morrison and J. Cole. My other option, completely to break things
and that
up,
would
was
really
I was going to throw in something like an Oasis or something, because of the size of the back
catalogue. Great shout, man. Oasis.
And I tell you what, do you know what? I'll go Oasis.
Oasis.
Fair play, good shout.
Right, the final one then.
Yeah.
We've got our office, our celebrities, movies, music. The final drop that just falls out of the sky is three items.
Right.
Your three items you can hand select what they are. My first one, and I think it should be yours as well, is a knife.
See, I was thinking knife, and I think I will go knife, but knife. I wanted to pitch to you, is there any
you
potential way you can make something similar?
Well, I mean, you could potentially make something out of rock or
that's
something.
That's what I mean.
But
I mean.
I would take a metal knife over a rock-made, handmade knife.
I'll have a knife first.
Way more versatile. You start fires with it, kill animals with it, sharpen objects with it, build
So just to confirm, right, we are alone as far as people, but there's wildlife.
Yeah, there'd be wildlife there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd be able to craft a knife.
Okay, so you're not going to take a knife in this situation.
Do you know what you're taking?
Do you know what? No. Do you know, just to make it easier for the group as well, I'm going to take a knife.
I would also take a knife. Right, so we've all agreed on a knife. My second object is a football.
Do you know what was going to be my third? I was going to wait till the end and
my
bring
second
a
object.
Third.
100%.
Yeah, you got something for a laugh, didn't you?
You'd have fun with it. It just would keep the morale of the group up. There's so many different
Wilson,
things.
Isn't it?
There's so many different sports you could play with a football.
Yeah,
you
I think I'm going
rugby,
football as well.
Cricket, tennis, whatever.
Me and
with
you
a
have
football.
To differ on. I was going to have that as my last one, but I'll have it now since you just said it.
Yeah, so a football would be my second one.
That was going to be mine.
See, I'm not sure if I want a football, but
I was expecting you to fucking
no,
laugh it
saying
off.
It. I hadn't even thought of like morale because it would increase morale.
Increases morale, and also
it's just, it is good. So we could use it for other sports. So it's like
exactly. There's not many other sporting balls you can do a lot of sports with.
Plus, coconut stuck up in the tree, and you can't get yourself up there. Bang!
Straight up. Then what if you get stuck in a tree?
Well,
then you're seriously.
Then
pissed.
You've got to climb. Yeah, but you should have learned that in the first.
You know
place.
What? I'm going to stick with these lot. I'm going to go over the ball as well. Okay. But it doesn't have to be a football, it should be a ball.
Yeah,
a
so
my
third object.
Third object, wow. My third object would be a photo album of home.
Like it.
Yeah, my third like object would be an album really of one. All of the photo of like selected photos to remind me of what was back home, of my family and friends and stuff. That would be my third object.
We have no signal where we are.
No signal, no internet, no Wi-Fi, none of that.
Are you sure? Or do you just not have the objects?
No, man, you can't put a if your third object's a Wi-Fi router, get out the door now. It's a joke, mate. There's no Wi-Fi connection. Virgin Media, man, doesn't come around wiring you in with optical. Go on then, what's your third object? Are you just going to copy me for a third one?
No. Good. I'm not for that simple reason. I was trying to think of something actually practical and useful. And I was thinking, you know, you always hear these things about, like, condoms are useful to have in these situations, supposedly.
Yeah, very useful.
Because
although
you can use it because they're waterproof. You can tie them and they would actually be waterproof.
No, but the reason condoms are very useful is mainly, the reason they get taken into the jungle and stuff is mainly, it's not even to carry water, it's to waterproof the ends of rifles and to waterproof exhaust pipes and things like that.
Right,
but still, it's waterproof, isn't it? So if we ever needed to transport from one area to another,
what are you gonna like? You could find leaves and stuff that you use to transport.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'd take.
Condoms is a disappointment.
I'm swapping my knife.
I'm not picking it. I said I was thinking.
You're swapping a knife.
I want a strap. I want a gun. That's
idiot.
What I want.
Worst decision you could possibly make in the world.
Well, yeah. if you're not bringing ammo, is your third one? Then
well, it comes with it, doesn't it?
No.
Wait, how much does it come?
Well, then
with
I'm not
it?
Taking a gun then.
Yeah, yeah good. Exactly. Why would you take a gun?
Why would you take? It can run out, can't it?
What good does a gun do?
What do you mean, what good does
comparatively
a gun
to
once
a knife.
You've used your bullets.
Comparatively to a knife, you can hunt with a gun, right?
Hunt with a knife?
You can, but it's way more difficult.
Yeah, but you could craft a spear with a knife.
Yeah, cool. You can probably craft a spear without a knife as well.
I thought
maybe,
say,
but
craft
not
a
easily.
Spear with a gun.
Yeah, what can you do with the gun?
Just
other than
bang
it. Other than kill, what can you do with a gun?
It's true. It's not a practical thing,
terrible.
But it makes it easier to, like, hunt. So what I'm saying is, if there's few of you and you're finding it difficult to kill something,
it's
you're not
going
to be running after a flipping a bear or a bull, are you?
But it's not just that practicality of like a gun, a knife. You can like strip things. You can make fishing lines.
Right, it's way more useful for sure.
So why would you take the gun?
I mean, it's, you know what I mean.
Like, he's panicked now and he's backtracking.
No, because I didn't want it to just be three things that you took. You know what I mean?
All right, so you're taking a gun instead of a knife, like a maniac.
Mm.
What's your third item then?
Third item. It's going to be a knife.
Hold on. What's yours? A pair of Nike TNs?
Do you know what? I was thinking about it, but no. I think I'm going to go with Oh, God, it's so difficult.
It is tough,
it
isn't
is it? Difficult.
It's so difficult.
It is. I mean, I've selected the perfect trio, so it's very hard to compete.
It's more that...
Would you want to go centre mental, though, on your third one? Or would you... Yeah? You would.
See, I could go sentimental in a way.
For the same reason you selected Bob Marley, man.
But to be honest, my music will remind me of home. I don't need the photos.
Okay.
They're up here. They're up here. They're fine. I would...
Three items.
What about pen and paper?
Some after, son.
Pen and paper?
Two items, isn't it, really?
I'll give you it as one.
I'm not going to take that, though.
Well, make a decision then, mate, because I'm not being funny. This podcast nearly an hour.
What about a raft? Can that be an item?
No.
You haven't picked a third, have you?
Yeah. He has. He's picked a knife, a gun, and a football.
Yeah, I've picked the knife and the gun. Jesus. Okay, I will pick a bunch of scrap metal.
That's a bunch bad, of scrap metal. No,
well,
my
think
God.
About it. Think about it. Like, what you can do is scrap
metal. I want a ton of
what
scrap
about, like,
metal.
Glass.
The sand.
Right. Are these people stupid?
No, I'll tell you what. Your phone is ringing as well.
That's right, leave it.
I will take as my final thing a roll of cable. I don't know what I'm going to use it for, but it feels like a...
It's not the worst.
It feels like a good use for it. I'm going to take a roll of 50 metres of cable.
50 metres of cable.
I mean, it's very, very usable.
Usable.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of something
rope
that's going to
be... usable as well.
Yeah, but I'm going to take cable because I think it'd be good for things like rafts. It would be useful. It's also reusable. Probably more reusable than rope. Rope could wear away. So I'm going
to
take...
Cable tends to rust.
Yeah.
It does. But
so would the scrap metal, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, do you know what? I'm going to take the cable and we'll use it quick.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to take a roll of cable and hidden within it, it's a pack of condoms, so I can waterproof the whole thing.
Brilliant. I mean, it's turning into absolute chaos here, but yeah. I don't even think we've got time for conspiracy section this week, have we?
To be honest, I thought we were doing the desert island instead.
Yeah, we're doing the desert island instead this week anyway, so maybe you guys should let us know what your choices would have been for those three. Who in your office, well, don't tell us that because we don't know who's in your office, but go for celebrities, music, films and objects. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast, that one, or like DM us or tweet us or something like
let
that.
Let us know.
All of our handles are probably in the description of this podcast.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyway, yeah. So that's the end of NSFW for another week. Thanks very much for joining us, everybody listening at home. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars on the podcast app and leave a kind review.
Go watch the last video.
Yeah, go and watch the last video because Saz put loads of time and effort into it. It's a wicked challenge with Akin Femwa. What a nice guy he was. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
It was wicked.
Goodbye.
See you.
Short back and stomping.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.